Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone. Up and at 'em bright and early, I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success, from my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money, there's bills that I can't pay. I don't do it for the glory, I just do it anyway. Providing for our futures, my responsibility. Yeah, I'm real good under pressure, being all that I can be. I can't call in sick on Mondays when the weekend's been too strong. I just work straight through the holidays, sometimes all night long. You can bet that I stand ready when the wolf growls at the door. Hey, I'm solid, hey, I'm steady, hey, I'm true down to the core. And I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost, I know the sacrifice. Oh, and I don't want to die for you, but if dying's asking me, I'll bear that cross with honor, 'cause freedom don't come free. I'm an American soldier, an American, beside my brothers and my sisters.
All right, my minions, welcome to The Balance. That's right, Veterans Day is right around the corner. Take some time, and I tell you, that song just gets to me every single time. Take some time and thank a veteran for what they've done for you. The freedoms that we have. You know, we just came off of an election. You know, like it or not like it, we have another 4 years. But the thing is, democracy works, and we wouldn't have the freedoms that we have. We enjoy sitting around here talking about sports. We have the freedom to do that. We would not have that freedom if it wasn't for our veterans. So take some time and thank the veterans around you. My son's in the Marines. Happy birthday to the Marines. Guys, this is The Balance. Brand new studios. I tell you what, everything's new. Got the all new smell, the paint going on here. I tell you what, it's good stuff. Got my own little studio here. Our producer and social media director's got her own little studio. I tell you what, this is just good stuff, and we're glad that you guys could be a part of it and be a part of The Balance. We do this every Saturday morning. That's right. It is time for The Balance. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. You know, really, take some time, seriously, this weekend, and just take 5 minutes out of your day. They're not asking for much, just a thank you. And just tell them how much they appreciate you. And we dedicate this entire show to our veterans and everything that they've done for us. We're going to be joining Kenny Barr from Radio Speed Talk here in just a moment. We're going to be talking about everything in the racing world, and also a charity that's near and dear to their heart, and we've come to love it as well. And we're going to talk about that. Whisper Our Heroes, talking about what they do for veterans. So we're going to talk with him briefly about that, and we'll have all the information up on our social media. Well, guys, last week we had Best Of. I tell you what, that was a hard show to put together, but we hope that you enjoyed it. And we're going to get right into the show here in just a moment. We're going to be talking about some racing. I tell you what, and we're going to get into this with Kenny. And right when I was doing some show prep, I was watching some highlights out from the NHRA out in California. And Fast Jack Beckman's car just explodes. So we're going to get into that conversation. And, you know, we had an opportunity to meet him here in Indianapolis during the Grand Nationals. And what a great interview he was. But we had an opportunity to talk to him about that very subject and when that happens. So we'll talk to Kenny about that. And also we're going to talk about the chase to NASCAR. We're going to talk some NBA, the Pacers. And we're also going to be talking about the Colts. Can you believe it? 6-3 fantasy football huddle as well. And, guys, we've got also Evan and Jimmy joining us today. We're going to be talking some college football. College football Saturday. Obviously, the Monon bell rings today. And we're going to be talking about the up-and-coming trophy games here in Indiana. Of course, the big one. The big one, the old Oaken Bucket coming up as well. So when we break it down, the college football Saturday scene. I tell you what, you guys, my minions, you have the best seat in the house. I'm going to tell you what, because if you want to talk about racing, we got it. You want to talk about football, we got it. You want to talk about NBA, we got it. We got a little bit of something of everything. Well, guys, as I said, we're dedicating this entire show to the veterans. So make sure you take time today to thank the veterans. We're going to take a quick break, and we get back. Kenny Barr's hanging out in the wings. Well, you know, we got a visual of him before the show, and I don't want to get into that. But I do know that he's hanging out and ready to join us right here on The Balance. We'll be right back right here on a Veterans Day special of The Balance.
Yeah, I'm dressed up for success, from my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money. There's bills that I can't pay.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh.
All right, my minions, welcome. Welcome back to The Balance. My name's Saul Marquez, El Presidente. It is Saturday morning, and that means that you have stumbled across the one place where you can be tuned in everything when it comes to racing. And right now, joining us on the line from Radio Speed Talk, Mr. Kenny Barr. Kenny, welcome to The Balance, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Mr. El Presidente. How are you this morning?
Man, I'm good. I'm always good. We're here in the new studios. Got my coffee. Got coffee pot going, and it's good. It's good. It's good. I do want to say that I hope that we've got a little mascot that we have here at the Balance Studios. It's a little goldfish. We've named him T-Bow, and he's hung around for a while. But I came in the studio this morning, and he's struggling a little bit. I tried to give a mouth-to-mouth. I don't know that it's working. So I am observing T-Bow as we go. So, you know, all of you guys that have that positive energy out there for our goldfish, T-Bow, let's hope he makes it through the show.
You talk about my visual to you before the show, and then I got to think about you kissing a fish? Come on.
I know. Hey, you know, we don't want to get into the visual that you gave me. All I want to know is, are you fully clothed?
Absolutely. I was then, too.
All right. Well, let's jump right into this. Obviously, and Kitty, I want to take some time to talk with you about this because I know it's a charity very near and dear to your heart, and we've kind of really appreciate what they do as well here at The Balance. It is Veterans Day, and it's right around the corner, and it is time to take some time to recognize the veterans and the price that they have paid and willing to sacrifice for the freedoms that we exercise this past Tuesday. Tell us a little bit about your organization that you work very closely with, and the Wish for Our Heroes. I'm sorry. Tell us about that and what it's about, and how people can get involved with that.
Well, Wish for Our Heroes is an organization that actually helps active military personnel around the world, all Continental 48, Alaska, Hawaii, and they've granted wishes in four different countries. And what they do is they get involved with some active military families that have just fallen on hard times. Strange things have happened. Maybe a couple haven't seen each other in 10 months. Maybe they haven't gotten away from the rigors of 7 days a week life, from military life for 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 months, and they send them on vacation, or maybe they send them to a NASCAR race, or they send them to a getaway weekend, or whatever it takes to help them get rid of a little bit of stress and enjoy life like the rest of us do. But they provide because they do what they do. It's an organization that started, I think just 3 or 4 years ago. Jeff Wells is the big dog there, and his dad was, I believe, a Marine. And Jeff saw the need that active families needed at times, and before Jeff's father passed away, Jeff decided to start this organization, and it has just grown by leaps and bounds. And when we talked to Jeff here, I think it was about 6, 7 weeks ago, the monies that come in is just astronomical, and they don't solicit, they don't go out and pound the doors, they don't really ask for money, they just want your belief. And you know, they like you to go to the website, just check it out, see what it's all about. It's extremely, extremely worthy to throw a couple of bucks at when you're in the charitable mood. And they do great things for our active military personnel all over. Now, I didn't realize that they did it in a couple of different countries till we talked to him here a couple of weeks ago, and he sprung that one on us. So they're a super organization. They're involved with NASCAR with the ML Motorsports team out of Warsaw, Indiana, and Joanna Long, the driver. You'll see their moniker on her car during several races during the course of the year. And I know they had a big shindig down in Texas, so I missed it by a day when I was down there. And you'll keep an eye on them. I think that organization is going to get bigger and bigger, and they do terrific things for our military personnel.
All right. Well, Kitty, it's Veterans Day. Any special veterans that you want to thank, or just a overall thank you to everyone?
Well, I'm going to take 2 or 3 minutes of your time to plug where my wife and I actually live. You probably don't even know about this, but my wife and I are house managers of a homeless veteran shelter up here in Fort Wayne, Indiana, called the Shepherd's House.
Okay.
What we do is we take in veterans who have problems with alcoholism or post-traumatic stress or
mm-hmm.
drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And we got 30 guys in the house right now, and we just get them on a faith-based program and get them back in life where it's supposed to be, get their finances in order, get their family ties back in order, get them back on their feet, get them sober, get them clean, and get them back into society. So do I have any special veterans to thank? Yeah, I got about 31 of them. I'm 50, 60 feet away from here in the same house. And these guys are all veterans, with the exception of, I think, just one or two. And they all have different stories to tell. And if it wasn't for these guys doing what they did, I couldn't give back the way I'm giving back. So I got veterans all over the place right now.
Well, you know what, and we do appreciate that. I don't know if you've got a website or anything you want to throw out there. Go ahead, and we'll throw it up there on our social media. And I'm sure that there's a process for acceptance to that, but how they can contact you and if that's something that they might be interested in doing.
Yeah, it's called theshepherdshouse.org. It's spelled S-H-E-P-E-R-D-S, house.org. And, if there's a homeless veteran dialing in for some reason or another, floating on the Internet, hears us, and you need a place to go and you're willing to make a 6-month commitment to clean life up and stuff, give us a call. And the number's on the website. There's a place for some donations, although we're very blessed with gobs of food and gobs of money and gobs of chores you can do. And it's a warm place. It's a place with a roof over your head. And we'll do everything we can to help you as long as you're willing to be helped. So it's theshepherdshouse.org.
Well, that's fair. That's fantastic. Well, we do want to get into some racing talk, and we want to talk a little bit about the chase. So as we narrow down the elimination of the chase and we look at what's going on, let's talk about how this chase is shaping up. Obviously, the big boys are out in Phoenix. So let's talk about how things are going into the chase. You know, we look at Jimmy Johnson, and I tell you, I say this every year, but it's like, can Jimmy Johnson really win another championship? And right now, if you were to ask me that 2 weeks ago, I'd say no. You know, I think that there's a good opportunity that other people are going to win it. But I look at recent events with Jimmy Johnson. You ask me now, can Jimmy Johnson win yet another championship? I have to say yes.
Well, I agree with you, but I don't think he's going to. I still am sticking by my pick, and Cliff and I don't agree on a lot of picks and stuff when we decide who's going to win a race or a points championship. Both of us picked Keselowski before the chase started, and I'm sticking with him because Roger Penske's never won a NASCAR championship, and I know that team wants to win for him. And Keselowski is smart. He's a second-generation driver. He's done just about everything right this year. Even when they had a bad day, it turned out to be not such a bad points day. And they're young and they're hungry. Now, that's not taking away anything from Johnson's experience and Chan Knaus being, I love this expression, the smartest rooster in the hen house kind of thing. It's going to be really, really interesting. You know, everybody puts all this emphasis on qualifying. I think Keselowski qualified 14th and Johnson 24th. They'll both be to the front pretty quick. Bad thing about qualifying 24th, if there is a bad thing, is if somebody gets stupid in front of you, you've got a bigger chance of being a melee and really have a bigger problem for the course of the day. And Phoenix is more of a crapshoot than I think a lot of people are really believing because of the new surface. The configuration is different. Not everybody got a chance to get out there and test. I know Keselowski was out there during a tire test. Maybe that gave him a little bit of advantage, but it doesn't seem like it if you qualified 14th. But I just got one of those feelings in my bones that I think Keselowski's going to pull this thing off, and I really hope he does.
Well, and I do. That would be a great win. Obviously, sitting at number two in the standings, in a good position to do that. But you still have to put out Jimmy Johnson, and I don't know that you can completely rule him out. I'm not saying that he will actually win the Cup Series Championship, but I think he's right there again. You know, I want to look at some of the guys caught up in the bottleneck here, and I really think that Phoenix can help them out. We look at Casey Kane, Matt Kenseth, and Jeff Gordon. If Jeff Gordon can pull out a win at Phoenix, what does that do for his helps in the chase and possibly a championship?
No, not enough because they're just too far out. And you're not going to get rid of Kenseth, Kane, Bowyer, Keselowski, and Johnson. All five of those guys are not going to take a leave of absence for the day. I mean, you've got too many people in front of you to get up to the top of the hill. Now, he may get closer or he may even jump a spot or two, but anybody probably fourth on down, third on down, actually, because Bowyer's 36 out, so he's almost mathematically eliminated after this race. There's just too many guys in front of him to jump up and get up there, so I think Gordon's best thing to do is kind of be a heat round and keep an eye on Keselowski and keep an eye on Sam Hornish Jr., those two team cars, and see if he can't badger them and get in their way and race them hard every chance he gets to see them, so Jimmy Johnson might have a little bit of an easier time to get where he needs to go. We talk about team orders on our show this week, and we disagree. We got a really neat show on RadioSpeedTalk.com this week because we have a roundtable discussion with a really good friend of mine who's a former NASCAR crew chief and happens to live here in New Haven with us in the Portland area. So we all sat down and talked about it, and he says there is no such thing as team orders, and I think he's crazier than a loon because if I was a Hendrix and I had three cars out of contention and one in contention, those three guys, I wouldn't say go out and crash Keselowski or go out and bash into Hornish Jr., but every time I saw those guys, you race them as hard as you can to try and make up the, make them use up their stuff, make them use up their motor, make them use up their tires, make them get mentally fatigued, that kind of thing. And on the flip side, that would be Sam Hornish's main job. Find Jimmy Johnson and just race him as hard as you can race him. Race him clean, race him honest, race him fair, but race him hard. And
race him hard. Well, we come to the part of the show now where I like to call Rumor Has It. All right, Rumor Has It, and we're going to play this new thing with you because it seems like every week we've got something new that pops up in the rumor mill. So this week's Rumor Has It, for each of his 12 seasons in the NASCAR Sprint Series, Kevin Harvick has driven for Richard Childress Racing. Of course, now the rumor has it, buddy, that he'll be going over to Stuart Haas Racing. Fact or fiction, sir?
Fact, but just not confirmed yet. And it's all about the money. And I can't believe that they're – although I know why Kevin Harvick's jumping. Obviously, there's a couple of kids named Dylan that are going to be coming up PDQ for Richard Childress. So Richard's going to open up a seat somehow or another. Kevin's just making it easier for Richard. But announcing that kind of a thing a year early, you know, that term lame duck comes to mind, just how hard is everybody going to race and work together that season for a championship in 2013. And you know that Austin's going to get the seat, and they're probably going to bring the number three back, I would bet, with that whole deal. But announcing it a year early, not having sponsorship in place yet, and that's probably what they're working on. Stuart Haas has the infrastructure to run a four-team outfit. You know, they have the building, they have the materials, they have everything they need. It's just a matter of having the money and the sponsorship to go. But announcing it a year early seems a little bit premature. It's not confirmed yet. You know, Tony Stewart's standing in front of the media grinning like a Cheshire cat about that whole thing. So, you know, he said the junior's going to be his driver, and then he said Marty Smith's going to be his driver. And he said, finally, he just said, hey, you know, we'll let you know when we let you know kind of thing. But when these rumors start, and they come from a really dependable source like Marty Smith at ESPN. They usually come to fruition, so I'm going to say true.
So, and I agree with you. Here's what I think, and going into my conspiracy theories on this, they release it, accidentally leak it, so that they can get sponsors. What do you think?
Well, yeah, that's a really good angle on that, Tommy. Yeah, they accidentally, wink, 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 release it. Yeah, you bet.
Well, let's go ahead.
I don't think the sponsorship's really tied to a driver as opposed to an organization. You know, Home Depot stayed with Joe Gibbs, but I've seen drivers take sponsors with them here and there. So I don't know how tight Budweiser is with Harvick, or if they're really tied into RCR. So it'll be interesting. Maybe he's already got it lined up and he's just waiting for the right time to announce it. Who knows?
Well, let's talk about some of the things going on moving in, talking about the next season, next year, and we look at 2013. Can new NASCAR 2013 car really make racing better? And my question to you, and you look at some of these teams that have what I would consider the monetarial advantage, does this come into play? Will one team gain an unfair aerial advantage in this new 2013 car? This would be your tech question of the week, sir. And I don't know that we're ever going to make any fans happy, but I'm not a big fan of changing the car to the new, what we are now calling it or dubbing it, the new 2013 car. What's the reason behind that, and do you think that one team will gain an unfair aerial advantage on this?
Well, the reason behind it is they want the cars to look more like the cars that you and me and Joe Bag of Donuts drive, because they still believe, to a certain degree, the win on Sunday, sell on Monday theory, and that apparently applies to some part of the country, because it certainly doesn't apply here in the Midwest and hasn't since maybe the 80s. Because I work in a new car dealership, and I guarantee you nobody comes walking in on Monday morning saying, I want a new Impala because Dale Earnhardt Jr. just put a person in the Talladega. That doesn't happen here in the Midwest anymore. Now, it may down, you know, in the Southeast or some other part of the country, but that's why they're doing it. They just want the fans to identify Hey, I got an Impala. Hey, I got a Ford that looks just like that. Hey, I got a Dodge. Oh, excuse me, Dodge isn't in NASCAR anymore. But I got a whatever is going to be out there. So they want the fans to really identify with the body shapes and styles. The answer to your second question is the same answer that we talked about this in the spring when the IRL cars went to all the different things. The teams with the money, the teams that can do the R&D, the seven post shakers, the wind tunnel testing and stuff, absolutely are going to have an advantage over the teams that don't have the finances to do all that research and development. Now, the teams that don't have the big bucks will catch up with them because in NASCAR, kind of like the NFL, everybody's a copycat. As soon as something works really well, you got eight guys down there sniffing around trying to figure out what's going on with it. In the NFL, they just look at films and figure out, oh, the cover two defense can be beat like this. But in NASCAR, you know, I don't know if you've ever watched some of these guys in NASCAR, but don't you dare go marching around a car with the camera when this car is faster than everybody else. I mean, they got the Gestapo around that car, and if they think you're taking a picture of some super secret speed thing, they're coming to take your camera away or shoo you out of there. So you're they're going to have an advantage early. I don't think they're going to have an advantage late. Sorry for the ding. I don't know who's dinging me there. But it'll be interesting. You know, the big buck teams will be out front early, and we'll see how long it takes for the rest of the teams to catch up with them.
Well, and I wish we had time to talk about people sniffing around Danica. Obviously, her Danica brand's doing a lot better than the Danica car. So, you know, well, that's another conversation for another time. But
well,
I'm just...
I didn't say anything about Danica.
I did. I was just going through my checks here of topics I wanted to hit on. I wanted to talk about her brand as opposed to her car, but we don't really have time to do that because I really do want to talk about Fast Jack Beckman and switching gears over to the NHRA. As I was doing some show prep this morning, I mentioned this in my opening dialogue that I'm watching this and, you know, just watching the highlights out there in California, and boom! Jack Beckman's car explodes. I tell you what, I was watching it with Michelle, our social media director and producer. She jumps out of her seat. I'm like, whoa! And, you know, then it was just amazing to watch him get up out of that car. I mean, it wasn't a wreck. It wasn't a flip over. It was a downright explosion. I want to talk with you about that. When you watch that, I hope you've had a chance to see that. I know we sent you the link on it. Yeah. When you watch that, what were your thoughts outside of OSH, holy whatever? What were your thoughts?
I would never bring that up in the air because I say that about once a month and I get in trouble with Cliff every time I do. But the first thing is I'm thankful that he got out of the car unscathed and waved to the crowd. Second thing is, you know, that nitrous is so explosive that it doesn't surprise me any at all. The shot that really kind of got my attention, Tom, was the in-car camera at the end of that video. Because that's what you see as the driver.
Oh, I know. I couldn't believe it made it through it.
And we were joking before the show that, you know, he didn't have time to say O-S-H-I. But he also didn't have time to pray. I mean, you just hang on and then you thank God afterwards when you get out of that thing. So that's part of the lore or the allure of drag racing is that can happen at any time in those top fuel cars. Those things, and when they go boom, man, they go kaboom. It's not just a little bitty thing or a small little piece flying off or the car just dying. When those things explode, they explode dramatically, which is why it's cooler to watch them at night than it is in the daytime.
Well, absolutely, and you know, I'm just glad that Courtney wasn't the one in that car there. No, I'm. But you know, we had an opportunity to meet. In case you don't know this, Kenny, I have some sort of fetish crush on Courtney Force that I just can't shake. I'm like a little schoolboy, but had an opportunity to meet her too. You know, I had a little drool can and everything there beside me there at Lucas Oil. But we had an opportunity to meet Fast Jack Beckman and talk with him about that very issue, and I asked him that very question. What happens when because in a race car like that, something can go wrong and go wrong real fast, like you just said, what do you do? And he said he relies on his training and that at some point, like you just said, there's just nothing you can do. You do have to literally just kind of hang on and hope for the best that the team did what they were supposed to do and that, you know, he was talking about the different layers of fire suits and stuff that he wears. But it was just amazing to see that crash with Fast Jack, and it's, I guess, I don't want to use the word cool because we like to watch these wrecks as long as nobody's hurt. But you know, going through that, it isn't very cool. But it is also kind of neat. You know, hey, we just had an opportunity just a few months ago to sit and talk with Fast Jacket. The thing about it is he's still in contention to win it all.
Well, yeah, he's a fast qualifier still. They, you know, they got all those spare parts and terrific, terrific crews, and they can either drag out another car or fix that one within an hour, hour and a half's window. I'm sure they drug out another car, all the damage I saw fly off that thing, although a lot of it could have been body and blower blown off. I didn't really – couldn't tell what exploded, but that's usually a blower explosion on something like that. They probably drug out car number two and got it dialed in and ready to go. Training, next time we talk to him, whether it's you or us, ask him what kind of training he's really talking about. And I'm sure he'll have some sort of answer, and then I'll sit around and think he's crazy. But it's I'd do training for that other than not panicking, you know, not freaking
right.
out. And you just got to keep a calm head about you, and that is really, really hard for that second or two or three, because when that explosion happens, man, that reverberates through your whole body and rattles your cage, and I wouldn't be surprised if a guy could get a concussion just from that kind of a explosion, you know. I know their heads don't go banging around and their brain don't hit the inside of the skull kind of thing, but that serious reverberation and explosion, the guys here tell me that they've been around some explosions during wars and stuff over in Iraq and Afghanistan, and it just shakes you right through your soul, not to your soul, but right through it, man, and it just rattles your cage. So your composure... What's probably most affected is your nervousness at the line at the next run. And that's where the training will come in, that you got to block that out of your mind and just go.
Absolutely. Well, Kenny, we're going to have to let you go at this point. We got to jump on into college football Saturday. We do dedicate our show to the veterans. Also, real quickly, can you tell us what's going on with your show? Where can people find your work? And again, talk about Shepherd's House website and Wish for Our Heroes.
Yeah, our show's a good show this week. Similar format, but we kind of abandoned it because things started flowing so well. We were bummed out that we actually had to take commercial breaks because we just got to talking, and then when it was commercial time, we just kept right on talking, and then we had to go back and re-review what we had in the first place. So it's a roundtable discussion between Cliff, myself, our media director, Tom Wolf, has grabbed the microphone because he's got some interesting insights and thoughts, and then Steve Minnick Sr., a former NASCAR crew chief back in, oh, golly, we're getting to be old men now, back in 1987. He was Steve Fishman, who they got second in the rookie of the year points behind some kid named Allison back then, and they were pretty successful their whole year. But like a lot of those teams, they ran out of money. But we just sat around and talked about racing. And the more we talked, the more the conversation flowed, the more interesting it got. We didn't do our Did You Know segment because we just, things were going well. So you need to tune in, RadioSpeedTalk.com and or any of the affiliates that are all over the website. Check it out. What was the second part of your question?
Oh, I was just going to have you mention Shepherd House real quick and Wish for Our Heroes.
Yep, wishforourheroes.org, the grant pushes for military families that are active duty in the Continental 48 and Hawaii, Alaska, and four countries. Jeff Wells is the president, a nice, intelligent young man. Check him out, wishforourheroes.org. They don't want your money, they just want your beliefs. And go check out the website for the Shepherd's House up here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And if you know a homeless veteran that needs a little help, we may be able to help her out. It's shepherdshouse.org.
All right, Kenny Barr of Radio Speed Talk. You can hear Radio Speed Talk right here on the Balance Radio Network every Sunday afternoon, typically after the Colts game. Well, there isn't no Colts game this Sunday, so we'll have it around 5 o'clock. Kenny, thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next week, guys. I tell you what, we are dedicating this entire show to the veterans. Take some time today and say thank you to a veteran. We're going to take a break. We get back. We'll be back with College Football Saturday.
An American.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located in 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. a distributor for all major suppliers. We can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports. All right, welcome back to the Batlands. My minions, my name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. It is college football Saturday, and what a Saturday it is going to be. We've got a lot to talk about, and joining us, as always, is our panel, Mr. Jimmy the Intern from down at Indiana University. Jimmy, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. We're gearing up for a pretty big game down here today.
Boy, I'm excited. I tell you what, I am so excited. And joining us from up at Purdue University, Mr. Evan Williams. Evan, it is good to have you back on the air here at The Balance. I know you've missed a few weeks, but we'll forgive you, and glad that you're back with us.
Thanks, Tom. It's good to be back.
Well, guys, I tell you what, we are dedicating this show to the veterans, so I want to make sure real quickly that if there's any veterans that you guys want to say thank you to specifically, if there's anything you want to say about the Veterans Day and what it might mean to you personally, I want to give you that opportunity. So we'll start with you, Jimmy. Anything particularly specific that you want to talk about Veterans Day?
I'm going to give a shout-out to my grandpa Jim, first out, served in the Korean War back in the 1950s. God rest his soul. And then my uncle Chris, a captain on the USS Maryland and U.S. nuclear submarine, a captain in the U.S. Navy, one of the better human beings I know. Shout-out to him.
All right, Evan.
I've got nothing specific, but I just wanted to thank all the servicemen and women for all they do for our country and allow us to have all the great freedoms we have today.
Absolutely. And like I said earlier on in the show, you know, whether or not you agree with the outcome of the election or not, democracy works, and it works because we have the freedoms that we have to go to the polls and to vote for our guy, whoever that guy might be. And whether or not it turned out for who you wanted it to be, one thing I can tell you for sure is that you had the freedom as an American to do that because of the veterans. And I want to thank everyone that has given their time and their service, especially my son who's in the United States Marine Corps. And also, happy birthday to the U.S. Marines as well. So I want to thank, you know, all the veterans. I've got a whole family. My grandfather was in World War II. I was in the Army. My other brother was in the Marines. I've had an uncle that was in the Army in Vietnam. I've had an uncle that was in the Navy. So, you know, everybody that has, whether it's a National Guard, Reserve, or active duty, Coast Guard, Air Force, Navy, Army, Marines, any part of the branch of service and any part to do with it, we salute you completely. Well, guys, let's get right into some football talk because that's what we're here to do. How about those Hoosiers? We have to start off with that. Jimmy, how about those Hoosiers? Do we have a streak? Oh, my God, if we can beat Wisconsin at home, I'm going to tell you what I think. I really think the earth will move off its axis just a little bit, Jimmy.
Well, they've already got a streak going. They've got two, so they've strung together a pair of wins. But if they can put together the third here at Memorial Stadium today at noon, it's going to be a noon start. And I'll tell you what, there are actually students who are lining up do tailgate early on. There are going to be people inside. There are going to be people at this game, Tom. There's going to be a difference from how it's been. People are going to be at the game. It's going to be a great college football atmosphere in Memorial Stadium. And for the first time in a long time, as a matter of fact, since they played Iowa way back in the day, 92 or 93, this team has a chance to get to a Rose Bowl. They have a chance to get to the Big Ten title game, and a win today puts them in a very, very enviable position. They're in the driver's seat right now, especially if they can manage to pull off a win today.
Much different story than what we were talking about just a few weeks ago right here on this very show about those Indiana Hoosiers. Unbelievable. Kevin Wilson goes from having no wins in the Big Ten to stringing around two. And you know what? We're just excited that there's two wins in the Big Ten, and we're playing Wisconsin with momentum, and that goes a long way. So what are some of the keys that IU has to do to beat Wisconsin?
Well, first things first, Wisconsin is starting a third-string quarterback today, Curtis Phillips. He's someone who's never started a game, has, I believe, 14 career passes. So he's not someone who there's a lot of tape on, but he also has a reputation as a good running quarterback. He boasts a career per carry average of 10 yards per carry. He's pretty shifty, evidently. I don't know because I've never seen him play. His last real game action was in 2009 as a backup. But he's someone who's a wild card. And if IU can't key on him, I can see him coming out and hurting them since there's not a lot of tape on him. Not a lot of people know a lot about him. But if IU can contain him, Monty Ball has not been the same back this year who averaged over 6 yards a carry last season, and their defense has been a little questionable. So it's a game that IU has a chance to win. Wisconsin's missing their first-string quarterback, who is actually a walk-on. They're missing their second-string quarterback because Danny O'Brien has been benched for poor play. They're rolling the dice with Curtis Phillips, and whether or not he's able to come through on his end of the bargain is going to have a lot to do with the outcome of today's game.
And Evan, I want to get your thoughts. I know that you're probably secretly somehow saying, come on, Badgers, come on, Badgers. But what are your thoughts about this big game and about the wins that IU's been able to put together?
I mean, I think at this point you have to like Indiana's chances in this game. You know, like Jimmy said, Wisconsin starting third-string quarterback today, Monty Ball is been nowhere near the player he was last year. And IU's at home, and they've got that great momentum getting two Big Ten wins in a row for the first time since, I think it was 2007, I want to say. Sounds right.
A long time before Jimmy was ever there, I can tell you that. Well, guys, I tell you what, I want to talk about this in just a few moments. We've got the old Oak and Bucket game coming on and coming up here soon. And that Saturday, I'll be down there. I mean, I'll be up there at Purdue for the game. And it is going to be a great, and I hope that we could get everybody together to talk about that game. But I do want to do that. But that is a huge trophy game. But the second best trophy game going on in the state of Indiana is going on now, going on today, the Monon Bell. Wabash and DePaul, I tell you what, if you live in Indiana, if you're from Indiana, there's the old Oak and Bucket, and there's the Monon Bell. So we're going to start with you, Evan, the Monon Bell, Wabash and DePaul. Wabash, they've been doing this since 1890, 118 games. Wabash has won 56, DePaul 53, and DePaul is struggling a little bit right now, and they've got nine ties since their first meeting in 1890, DePaul 34, Wabash 5. That was the score, I'm sorry. And the last meeting was in 2011. Wabash just mopped the field with DePaul 45-7. So let's talk about the Monon Bell game, one of the biggest games in the state of Indiana. Evan, what are your thoughts?
Tom, I am actually following this game. One of my best friends from home is a Wabash student. So I'm pulling for Wabash in this one, and I like the chances. They've pretty much dominated the series with DePaul lately, so I'm going with the Little Giants.
Going with the Little Giants. Jimmy, what are your thoughts? Break down this game. DePaul Wabash, you know, it doesn't get a lot of national attention. Let's face it, it's not Big Ten. It's not the Pac or anything like that. But it's a fun game if you're from Indiana and if you are a Hoosier in the literal sense of being a person from Indiana. Jimmy, thoughts on the Monon Bell game today?
Well, it's not Big Ten. It's not even Division One, but it's definitely a lot of fun. It's funny that Evan comes in as a Purdue guy, so we're already diametrically opposed. Says he knows someone from Wabash. Well, I know someone from DePaul, so it's going to be a slugfest down there today. It's the kind of game, Tom, you're exactly right, where if anybody went to a high school where sports were a deal or football was a deal, in Indiana, one of those guys, even if they're not a Division One scholarship athlete, they're going to get a look from Wabash or DePaul. If you play football in the state of Indiana and you're looking for a place to go, Wabash or DePaul is going to take a look at you because they need football players. They look for tough guys. They look for undersized guys, but guys who know how to play football. And there was actually a guy at my high school a couple years ago, a two-time All-State center. He played there, Mike McNeilis, a good time at DePaul. It was one of the best linemen they had, and ended up being a really big-time player for them. But that's the story of this game, Tom. Everyone across the state of Indiana in some way, shape, or form has a connection. I have a friend who's graduated from Wabash this past year, so I've got people on both sides. I'm sure Evan knows somebody at DePaul. Even if he doesn't know it, he definitely knows someone there because if you live in the state of Indiana, you're going to have some sort of relationship with one of or both of these schools, which is what makes it such a fun game.
Oh, absolutely. And we were just talking about this when we were doing our pregame conversation with my producer, Michelle. Her brother Brad, actually graduated from Wabash. And she's got all these ticket stubs and pictures of being at the game and with her brother and so her younger brother. So it's fun. And I tell you what, I got really no dog in this fight. Although, I like I say, my producer, Michelle, her brother, went to Wabash, graduated there in 2010, just a couple years ago. I'm going to root for DePaul on this one just because, you know, somebody's got to root for him. So I'm going to go for DePaul on this one. Well, let's get back to the games at hand today here. Big Ten football, we talk about how good IU's been doing. Now, Evan, now it's your turn. Unfortunately, you guys went into the season, well, we thought we'd be having the conversations about Purdue that we're having about IU, the possibility of a Big Ten, a good appearance in the Big Ten, a bowl game, and you watched your team just fall apart. And I don't know really what the reason is. I would venture to say that Coach Hope is all but fired at this point. Even if you guys manage to beat IU in the Oaken Bucket, I don't know that that's enough to save his job. And especially you got today against Iowa. So let's talk about what has happened to Purdue and what caused the fall from grace from Coach Hope from just a year ago.
Tom, the thing is, I really don't know what has happened. This is definitely the most talented team that Purdue's had under Danny Hope. And like you said, I mean, there was big hopes for this season. Lots of people talking, you know, Big Ten championship game, maybe a Rose Bowl appearance. And now Purdue's, you know, a loss away from being eliminated from postseason play. And it's just been awful to watch this past, you know, month and a half. And I really just don't understand it because the talent is there. Purdue's just not making the plays, and they're making too many mistakes on defense and offense. And it's been rough to watch. I mean, you know, you've gone from having so much optimism at the beginning of the season to now, you know, you're just praying we don't get blown out in games. And it's hard to watch as a fan and as a student. And today against Iowa is going to be another tough matchup on the road. And as far as Coach Hope's status, I can't speak on that, but things are not looking good right now.
Well, Jimmy, what are your thoughts? I mean, I would think that just from the media standpoint and what we talk about, here, and all signs point to the dismissal of Coach Hope. And you look at Iowa being the favorite, and they're really not that good of a club. And you look back, Purdue was actually almost able to beat Notre Dame. And you look at how Notre Dame's played, maybe for the exception of last week, which was an ugly, ugly win against Pitt. But at the same time, what has happened to Purdue? Any thoughts on that? And go and talk to us about this game today. And is there anything that can save Coach Hope?
I'll tell you, this season for Purdue reminds me a lot of Bill Lynch's last season in Indiana. There was a lot of hype leading into the year. People were talking about postseason appearance. You might remember the 3-0 start and then playing Michigan. The All Memorial Stadium was sold out. Everyone was excited for that game, and then things just fell off. I feel like that game happened for Purdue a little earlier in the year, when they lost a really deflating game to Notre Dame and just have not really been able to bounce back. I'm looking at this team. It's talented for sure. I love Bruce Gasson and Kawan Short. I think they have some good talent along the offensive line. They have some good skill position guys, and they haven't been able to settle on a quarterback, and they haven't been able to get the consistent offensive play they'd be looking for. There have been too many mistakes. There have been too many missed assignments, just all the cliches of bad football. And it's all pointing towards a Purdue team that's going to finish out the season struggling to find a Big Ten win. Now, that makes me a little nervous because in Bill Lynch's last season, they went winless in the Big Ten. Everyone wrote them off for the last game. And then IU beat Purdue in the bucket game, made people think that he might keep his job. I don't think that's going to happen. Danny Hope is going to be fired at this point. His team has been built essentially to this point. And if this is the top of the mountaintop, I don't want to see what the bottom looks like, which is where Purdue's going to be heading next year. I think they need a change of direction. I don't think Danny Hope's going to be the guy to get it done, because when he's been stocking his cupboard for this year, he said it himself, this is the best team he's coached. It's the most talent he's had. And if this is what he's going to do with it, Purdue needs a change of direction.
Well, absolutely. And I'm greatly, greatly disturbed. Now, I like Coach Hope. I've had an opportunity to talk with him, interview him on a couple occasions. Very, very nice guy. Very, very personable. And I think that I don't know what happened. Maybe, you know, we can look at a lot of different situations. Maybe the AD there at Purdue, I'm sorry his name escapes me, see something in its future that I don't. But I would just think that the pressure from alumni and fans, when you look at an empty stadium last week, I think that was the nail in the coffin for Coach Hope. And, I wish him the best, but unfortunately it is the industry where the buck's got to stop somewhere, and it does stop with the coach. Now, on the flip side of it, we got another coach that – his job is secure, and the people are actually even talking about, to this point, moving him up to the NFL. It's amazing how people can automatically say, well, he'll be good NFL coach. We're talking about the coach of Notre Dame. Going 9-0, but we look at the game against Pitt last week. Jimmy, let's talk about that. And obviously, a huge win. If you're a Notre Dame fan, and I love to watch Notre Dame football, you know, it's just they're a great team to watch, a good history. So I have to admit that I am a Notre Dame fan. But watching that game, I tell you what, I cussed at the TV. I was like, I went outside, started the grill and everything. I said, I cannot believe this. And then for them to turn around, now I'm still saying I cannot believe this. This win against Pitt 29-26. Notre Dame truly is a national championship team, wouldn't you say?
I can't believe we're talking about this at this point in the season, but Notre Dame is still undefeated. They have won games in every way imaginable, which is a total opposite of what happened last season when you watched them give away games at the beginning of the season, in the middle of the season. The last game of the year against Florida State, they were a better team, and they gave that game away, too. It seems like they've just gotten tired of doing that. They've learned how to win games, and they've had a little luck go their way, too. They lose that game last Saturday. If Pitt's field goal kicker does not miss a 33-yarder to clinch the game from the right hash mark, it just stayed right. He wasn't able to get it to bend back, and Notre Dame ended up punching it in. They've caught as many breaks as you could imagine, they could. I mean, it's got to stop somewhere, you would think. But the way it's gone, I wouldn't bet against them for the rest of the season. They're 9-0. They're looking to run up the score against Boston College, the worst run defense in Division One. Go to 10-0. They have Wake Forest the week after, and then they play USC at a showdown. But if they end up winning that game, it's going to be really hard for them to lose. Now, I remember in 2002 when they lost to Boston College, when everyone was talking the same things. It was a team of destiny. The Irish had woken up the echoes, and they drop a game to Boston College, and all that goes for naught. They lose their bowl game, and Tyrone Willingham is out as coach 3 years later. This has a different feel to it. Brian Kelly has built this program in the image that he wants them to be. They're a physical running team. Everett Golson is getting better by the week. And Manti Te'o, the Flying Hawaiian, is leading that defense around. And they've been one of the top units in the country. I'm excited to see them play this week just to see what that result is, if they can hold on against Boston College. And I'll tell you what, Tom, if you're wondering how universal Notre Dame football is in this state, in the IU press box, there are people watching the Notre Dame game on their laptop computers as IU was battling Iowa in a very tense game with implications of its own. So if you want to know, that's how big Notre Dame football is, even down here.
Absolutely. And all right, Evan, let's talk with you. Notre Dame, are they the real deal? Go against Boston College. We know they're 9-0, and we also know that Boston College isn't that good. But we also know that we thought that Notre Dame would handle Pitt much better than they did. So let's say, for purposes of argument and devil's advocate here, that Boston College is able to play a good game today against Notre Dame and actually beat them. Now, we're talking about a very extreme hypothetical situation. Jimmy, and I mean, Evan, in your opinion, what does that do to the thoughts of Notre Dame being a national championship BCS championship type team?
I mean, if Notre Dame does lose to Boston College, I definitely think you have to take them out of the equation as of now for national championship. I mean, this is, like you said, a very bad Boston College team that the Irish should just steamroll. But I could see this being this kind of a trap game because, like you said, on paper, Notre Dame is by far the dominant team. Boston College is, you know, the underdog. But being on the road, which really hasn't mattered much for the Irish this season, you know, this could be a trap game for them. They might maybe overlook Boston College, you know, be looking ahead to that USC game. I don't think Notre Dame will lose. They've just been too good this year, and their defense, I think, is just going to not allow any offense from Boston College. But the Irish are going to have to be careful because this could potentially be a trap game. And, you know, if the Irish lose today, I think they can kiss their national championship hopes goodbye.
I couldn't have said it better myself. And when I look at the way Pitt was able to play Notre Dame, I don't know that that's an unrealistic thing because you know dang well that Boston College is watching every tape of that game and every play of that game. Well, quickly.
Do you mind if I jump in here just really quickly on that?
Go right ahead, Jimmy.
Just one last thing. One last thing on this game. I see it hard to have Notre Dame in a trap scenario this week with as poorly as they played against Pittsburgh. I think this is going to be a game where their players come out, and they're going to be ready to come out and play their A game, especially after nearly losing last week to Pittsburgh.
And I hope you're right, and I think you're 100% right, but we've got to look at what happened against Pitt, and we've got to look at, you know, Notre Dame, I think, is a national championship team. They in my opinion, we should be talking about it right now. But as Evan said, if Boston College manages to beat Notre Dame, we got a totally different scenario. But I do want to talk about a different scenario here. Obviously not playing each other today, but Northwestern and Nebraska, two teams that I see being a Big Ten matchup. If Northwestern manages to get to the championship game, Jimmy, against Nebraska in the Big Ten, again, hypothetical situations, what does that do for Northwestern's bowl hopes?
Well, it's going to be a fun game to watch because Northwestern and Nebraska share a division. Both teams with dynamic running quarterbacks, whether it be a Kane Coulter at times for Northwestern, they've gone to Wayne Simeon as well, but Nebraska with Taylor Martinez, they're going to be hard to defend. Right now, Nebraska controls their own destiny.
But Northwestern, at the beginning of the year, was talked about as a possible contender for that spot, a possible contender for the Big Ten title game, and they're not totally out of it just yet. If they can string together a few wins and get a lot of help, we could see them there. But it's a game that Nebraska can end up shutting the door on just about everybody else. They've had a very good season. They're the likely representative from that Legends division.
Well, I tell you what, this Big Ten is really getting exciting, and not to mention the fact, Jimmy, that we started at the very beginning of the season here talking about how the Big Ten was weak and how some of the weaker teams need to capitalize on that opportunity, and I think you see IU and Northwestern doing exactly that. Well, guys, I wish we had more time to talk about that, but we've got to get into Elizabeth the Greek, and when we get back from Elizabeth the Greek, we'll talk about her picks real quick.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth the Greek. Stay tuned. My predictions are coming up right here on The Balance Online with the host, Tom Mom T.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we got Circulate This Home Radio.
It's time for
Elizabeth the
Greek. Hey, I'm trying to do a show here.
This is a free exchange of ideas.
Well, Elizabeth, you had a really, really awesome week last week. 10 games, you won 8-2. Only missing one college and one NFL, and that was you picked LSU, and they lost in the last seconds to Alabama. And the Philadelphia Eagles weren't really a match for the New Orleans Saints. Let's get on to the picking. In college, do you go with the Purdue Boilermakers or the Iowa Hawkeyes? In the SEC, a non-conference game for them, do you go with the Louisiana Lafayette Raging Cajuns or the number 6 Florida Gators?
Number 6 Florida Gators.
The number 6 Florida Gators. Sticking with the SEC, the number 15 Texas A&M Aggies or the number 1 Alabama Crimson Tide? They're called the Aggies, but I think I get what you're saying. Gonna go with the upset. That's 2 weeks in a row you picked against Alabama. Another big game, the number 21 Mississippi State Bulldogs or the number 7 LSU Tigers.
LSU Tigers.
The LSU Tigers. And finally, in college, the number 4 Notre Dame Fighting Irish or... Let me finish. Or the Boston College Eagles.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Okay, move on to the NFL. The 1 o'clock game, do you go with the San Diego Chargers or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Another 1 o'clock game. The Detroit Lions or the Minnesota Vikings?
Minnesota Vikings.
Minnesota Vikings. Moving on to a 4 o'clock game. Do you go with the St. Louis Rams or the San Francisco 49ers? The Rams. You're really animated this week. Sunday night. Big game. Houston Texans or the Chicago Bears?
The Chicago Bears.
And finally on Monday night, the Kansas City Chiefs or the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Pittsburgh Steelers. Who picked those?
Elizabeth the Greek. But I'm going to like me on Facebook. Facebook.com/ElizabethTheGreek.
All right, Elizabeth the Greek. I tell you, she was a little bit animated today. That's for sure. All right, well, we're going to talk about her picks real quickly, guys. And then we've got to get on and let you guys go. But real quickly, Evan, what are your thoughts on the picks that Elizabeth the Greek made today?
Tom, I agreed with most of them. You know, I wish I could pick for my Boilers, but it's tough seeing them win this game against Iowa.
All right, Jimmy, what are your thoughts on Elizabeth the Greek's picks this week?
She went 8-2 last week, Tom. She had, I don't believe she's had a losing record all
she
year.
Hasn't. It's amazing, isn't it?
Where can I get this girl's information? I gotta call her. I gotta find a bookie in Vegas. I'm going to call him. And then I'm going to start laying money down because this has been outstanding. I'm glad she said Notre Dame again this week. And, let's know that they're probably going to go to 10-0. I'm going to bet going with the roomie. I've got a six-pack of root beer on the way. And finally, just the way that she's been able to pick against Alabama for two straight weeks, I don't know. I'd look out if I'm the Crimson Tide.
Absolutely. And we do not encourage child labor for the purposes of betting in Vegas. But you're right. She's got a good thing going on. Well, guys, we're dedicating this entire show to the veterans. Take some time today to thank the veterans. We do got to take a break and come back, and we're going to be talking some NFL, some NBA, and fantasy football huddle. Real quickly, guys, how about them Coats sitting at 6-3? Mr. Andrew Luck put together. You got Luck. You got Pagano. You got a speech that Pagano made in the locker room, which was just I don't care what kind of man you are, that brought tears to my eyes, I have to admit. Evan, the Colts, 6-3, obviously what a great game that they just had against Jacksonville. Needed that win, divisional win. What are your thoughts about the Colts at 6-3 and moving forward? Dare we use the word playoffs? Playoffs!
Tom, I think the Colts have been a great surprise this year, and I do have to think at this point that the Colts have a serious chance to be playoff contenders this year. Andrew Luck's been outstanding.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
I'm afraid of jinxing this, Evan. Go ahead.
It'll be interesting to see how the rest of the season goes, see how Luck holds up. But I think that they're playing great football, and I think they're really playing inspired football because of everything with Chuck Pagano right now. And I think that's going to do well for the Colts. I can see them in the playoffs this year.
Well, and joining us now also, and I wanted to make sure that we got him on as well, is my son Zach, who's in the Marines in North Carolina. Happy Veterans Day and happy birthday to the Marine, Zach.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on today. I appreciate it.
Well, we're talking about the Indianapolis Colts, and we're talking some college football. But real quickly, and we're going to keep you on the line, Zach, but we got to let Jimmy and Evan go. But real quickly, Zach, what are your thoughts, 6-3 Indianapolis Colts?
I think that we couldn't ask for a better start of a season. I think that I'll admit I was definitely very hesitant about Andrew Luck, and I was kind of afraid that he was going to let me down. But he actually did. The exact opposite. I am completely 100% backing Luck up on his decisions and the way that he plays the football. I think that he definitely starts the Colts out this season strong, and I think he has great plans to take us farther than just the playoffs.
All right, Jimmy, real quickly, what are your thoughts on the Colts, and where can people find your work and your masterpieces?
Final thoughts, I guess, are just go horse. They've been outstanding this year, and it's all thanks to the inspiration of Chuck Pagano, the way Ryan Grigson has put the team together, and the way Andrew Luck has played. It's that simple. As far as finding me online, you can follow me on Twitter, at JPCIV. That's at JPCIV, five letters. I'll be live tweeting from the IU football game this afternoon. And you can also find my work on iusportcom.com. A lot of great content from IU basketball, IU football as well. And they have a Twitter account as well. Just follow them, iusportcom, at iusportcom. And that's going to be a pretty good follow throughout today's game as IU tries to knock off Wisconsin.
All right, Jimmy the intern from down at Indiana University, Evan Williams from down at Purdue University, talking about that Iowa game, and hopefully that the Boilers are able to put something together. Jimmy, where can people find your work and your masterpieces?
Well, if you want
I mean,
to call
Evan,
that.
I'll call you Evan. Jimmy, whatever your name is, we'll just call you whatever. I have problems with names, buddy. You got to put a name tag on.
That's all right. Well, if you want to call my work masterpieces,
Go ahead, Evan.
All right. Well, if you want to call my work masterpieces, you can follow me on Twitter. Evan_Williams25. That's Evan_Williams25. And from there, you can read all my rants about sports and just life in general.
Sounds good. Evan Williams from down at Purdue University. Hopefully they can put together a win today. Obviously a disappointing season. Guys, we gotta take a break. When we get back, we're going to be talking some NFL, some NBA, and some fantasy football. Also, Zach, U.S. Marine Corps, joining us as well. It's Veterans Day appreciation, and we appreciate all the veterans. Take time to thank them for their service.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located in 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone, up and at 'em bright and early, I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success, from my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money, there's bills that I can't pay. I don't do it for the glory, I just do it anyway. Providing for our futures, my responsibility. Yeah, I'm real good under pressure, being all that I can be. I can't call in sick on Monday when the weekend's been too strong. I just work straight through the holidays, sometimes all night long. You can bet that I stand ready when the wolf growls at the door. Hey, I'm solid, hey, I'm steady, hey, I'm true down to the core. And I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente. Well, I tell you what, guys, on November 10th in 1775, the Second Continental Congress meeting in Philadelphia passed a resolution stating that two battalions of Marines would be raised for service as landing forces with fleet. The resolution was established the Continental Marines and marked the birth date of the United States Marine Corps, serving on land and at sea. These first Marines distinguished themselves in a number of important operations, including the first amphibious raid on the Bahamas in March of 1776 under the command of Captain late Major Samuel Nichols. Joining us now is Zach Marquis, my son, U.S. Marine Corps. Zach, happy Veterans Day. Happy birthday to the U.S. Marines. Talk to us about the Marines and talk to us about your role in the Marines and what it means to you.
Well, I like to say thanks for giving a shout out to the Marine Corps and all the veterans today. Today's not just my day; it's the whole Marine Corps' day. And then tomorrow is every man or woman that has served in my uniform or any of the armed branches uniforms for this country. Today, this whole weekend has just been an outstanding time. We have the Marine Corps birthday today, and then Veterans Day tomorrow. It's just my best time of year. I love it. It's the whole atmosphere of life is different during this weekend, and it sends cold chills down my back.
So talk to me about the tradition that the Marines have regarding the birthday cake between the oldest Marine and the youngest Marine.
Oh, wow. It's talk about a tradition. It is outstanding. During every birthday ball,
the Marine Corps passes down a cake from the oldest Marine president to the youngest Marine president. What that symbolizes is that the oldest Marine is passing down all his knowledge and traditions down to the youngest Marine in the Marine Corps. It's a tradition to say that the old generation, the Marines that are about ready to get out, they've done their time, and they're about ready to retire out. And they're passing down everything to the newest guy that just joined in their footsteps. They're trying to make sure that the young guys that just came in, that they realize how much the birthday ball and how much this day means to the Marine Corps.
Well, one thing for sure is the Marines' culture is unique to any other branch of service out there. And, you know, happy birthday to the Marines and all that they've done as well. Any other customs or traditions that the Marines indulge in that you can tell us about on the air anyway that you would like to share with us?
Well, it's just the whole birthday ball, when you go to a birthday ball for the Marine Corps, there's just so much more involved than just the birthday cake. You have the NCOs and staff NCOs and officers doing sword manual to indicate that the Marine Corps still fights by a sword. Way back when we would go into war and our dress alphas and our dress blues, and we would fight with a sword, and that's what we were founded on. And that's what we keep that tradition on. There's just so much that goes into the birthday ball. I could sit here and talk hours on what goes into the traditions of the birthday ball. It blows my mind. I cannot find a word that describes the feeling that you get being at the birthday ball.
Well, I tell you what, I have the distinct privilege of being proud as an American to support the veterans and to say, you know, thank you to the veterans. But I have I'm even more prouder of you as my son, Zach, and the service that you have done. And I appreciate that. I just want you to know that I, as your father, am very, very proud of you and what you've done. And every time you put that uniform on. All right, we move forward, guys. We talk about sports, and that's what we're here for. So $2 bill, Josh. Josh joining us. We're going to talk a little bit about the NBA and the Pacers as well. We're going to get into some football talk and fantasy football huddle as well. And, Zach, we want you to stay along with us just as long as you can. If you need to go, just hop in there and say, hey, I need to go. But we do want to talk about the Pacers. The Pacers not doing what they're supposed to be doing this year. $2 bill, Josh. What a fall from grace with the Pacers. Granger's out. What has to happen with these Pacers? What do the Pacers have to do to get their act together?
Well, I think for the Pacers to get their act together, they got to develop a bench. They went the cheap route in the offseason. They tried to trade for O.J. Mayo for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and he's finally available. They don't sign him. They basically signed a bunch of scraps that the Charlotte Bobcats no longer wanted, and D.J. Augustine. When the Bobcats no longer wants you, perhaps the Indiana Pacers should have stopped and went, wait a minute, if you're not good enough to play in Charlotte, why are you good enough to play here? But I'm going to suggest a totally different approach. I like Vogel. I really do. Give Vogel another 10 games. If he can't get it figured out, I don't have Danny Granger as not an acceptable excuse. It's been a proven fact in sports time and time again. After a while, people start tuning the head coach out. Having season tickets and having league pass, they get to see every Pacers game, no matter where, if they're home or away. And it appears the players are starting to tune Vogel out. If he can't get it fixed, I'm going to suggest that he give the head coaching job to Brian Shaw before another team takes him.
All right, Zach, do you have any thoughts on the Pacers or NBA at all going into this season? We look at the Lakers that just fired their coach after going 1-4. That has to be some sort of record for the NBA for the length of a coach to go 1-4 and to be dismissed as a head coach. So maybe Josh isn't too far off. Maybe we do need to think about another head coaching situation. I don't know that I'm exactly to that point yet, but Zach, what are your thoughts on the NBA? Anything on any NBA team that you'd like to talk about?
Well, I would love to be able to sit here and talk about the NBA, but I'll be honest and say that with all the commitments I've got going on and the schedule that I have, I'm lucky to
catch a Colts game, huh?
Still give my support to the Colts, and that's my ideal sport. So it's football. So I'm not going to be able to give any comments. Well, I'm going to have to get off, gentlemen. But before I leave, I will want to say that everyone take a few moments of silence today for all the fallen men and women of today and tomorrow that are not with us today. And then keep in mind all the men and women that are still overseas right now and not experiencing this family or this holiday with their other Marines back here and their family back here.
Well, Zach, we appreciate you coming on. You know you never need an invitation to come on the show, and we know that you're very busy with the commitments that you have as well. And by the way, you've got a birthday coming up. I was just talking about this morning, not on the air, off the air. It's kind of a funny coincidence that your birthday is coming up in the same month as the U.S. Marines, and you're in the Marines. I think that's pretty cool. So I know your birthday is coming up later this week. And no, I haven't forgot your present. So cash is in the mail.
On that note, one of my best things in the Marine Corps is when I actually became a Marine in boot camp, when they handed me my Eagle Globe and Anchor to signify that you are now officially a Marine, it landed on my birthday. So
now that just goes to show that you were born to be a Marine.
That's very true. I believe scarlet and gold and blue, that's for sure.
All right, my son, we love you. We appreciate you, and take care out there, and you're welcome here on The Balance anytime, buddy.
Thank you, Ross. Good for those.
All right, hoo-ah. Zach Marquis, absolutely my son. True story. And it still amazes me how I could have such a fantastic son. No, I'm kidding. Obviously, I love him very much. His birthday is coming up this week. And on top of that, he's a veteran. And, well, he's in the Marines, obviously. We want to dedicate the time to him. And thank you, U.S. Marines. Thank you, Air Force. Thank you, Navy. Thank you, Army, which I was in the Army myself. And thank you to all of the veterans out there. And the U.S. Coast Guard, National Guard, Reserve, thank you for everything you do. And thank you for giving us the freedom. I mean, heck, we just get to sit here and talk about sports. I mean, what a greater freedom than that. You know, our job is nothing compared to what those guys have to go through. Josh, we've did this with everybody that's been on the line today. Any particular veteran that you would like to send a shout out to or say thank you to?
Well, the only veteran that I really know is you, Tom. So if nobody else has told you yet, thank you for your previous service and thank you for having such a fine kid. I haven't got to meet your son, but he's always been a pleasure to talk to you on the show.
Yeah, he's a great kid. He unfortunately, his commitments with the Marines keep him very, very busy. And one of the things when you sign up for the Marines, or I guess any branch of service, Marines first, family second, and then God. So it kind of falls in that order. But hopefully he'll be making a trip home here soon as well. Well, let's real quickly, we want to get into some Colts talk. We want to get into some fantasy football talk. But we do want to talk a little bit more about the Indiana Pacers. And, you know, Mark Timmons of Indy Pro Sports, our partner company over there, did write a pretty good post, and I'll read just a portion of it. It says, "Dear Frank Vogel, on Tuesday I suggested that Gerald Green should be moved out of the starting lineup. Evidently, you read this blog. So you did that and started Sam Young last night. Well, you were just half right, but Sam Young shouldn't be in the starting lineup, let alone on the roster." So let's talk about that, Josh. Obviously, Mark Timmons of Indy Pro Sports
writing a letter to Frank Vogel right there on our website. He said, Frank, let me spell it out to you. Move Paul George to the small forward position and insert Lance Stephenson into the starting lineup. Don't do this as an experiment. Explain to Lance that you're going to have to give him at least 25 to 30 games in the starting lineup. Let him play. Thoughts?
I absolutely agree with that ideal. I don't think that Gerald Green or Sam Young should be on the Indiana Pacers squad. The only part I disagree with is I'd move Phil over to the shooting guard and put DJ Augustine in at point guard. I'm not a big fan of him, but Stephenson has approved he deserves to start. He's still got to wonder if he's going to make a knuckleheaded play or sat back himself, as we like to say, here on the balance. So I agree with the letter. I disagree with starting Lance Stephenson. I would start, if you're not going to start Augustine, what about Ben Hansberry? He can hit the three and nobody else on the team is really getting it to fall.
Well, you know, here's the thing. You know, I want to get your thoughts on this because I know that you actually started with the balance as our analysis for the NBA, so I know you follow a lot of the NBA. What are your thoughts on the decision that the Lakers fire their head coach just after a 1-4 start? Obviously not something the Lakers are used to. What caused that? Was it pressure, or are they sending a message that said, we are the Lakers, and we are not going to stand for a 1-4 start?
I think it was a little bit of both of those, but here's what it ultimately comes down to. They don't fire Mike Brown if they haven't already got Phil Jackson to say he'll come back and be the head coach. So somewhere over the course of last week, and everybody knows Phil Jackson's dating the Lakers owner's daughter. Somewhere, I'm assuming last week, he went, honey, I'm getting kind of bored sitting here on the couch, fishing, looking at the celebrities walk down the sidewalk. I kind of like to return. She in turn told her brother, so before they even fired Mike Brown, they know it's going to be Phil Jackson. Just for politically correct reasons, they're making it appear they're going through a search.
So, why? Why would they want to make that appearance? I guess that would be my question there. Why, what would be the purpose of that?
If they make it look like they're going through a search, it makes it easier in the future to actually get somebody they want to be your head coach. But do you want to take a job with senior they fired? They already hired the guy's replacement before they fired the guy who had that job.
Good point. Interesting. It's an interesting angle, that's for sure. Well, guys, we do want to take a break. We're going to take a break. If we get back, we're going to talk some NFL football, fantasy football. Huddle is right around the corner. And we're going to be talking about the Colts and 6-3 start. Fantastic start. Dare we talk playoffs? I don't know, guys, but I tell you what, again, we want to make sure that we emphasize the fact that our show is dedicated to the veterans. And, you know, we had on earlier Kenny Barr from Radio Speed Talk, which was talking with us about an organization that they support. And I just want to take time, and it's up on our social media as well, Twitter, T-Balance, Facebook, The Balance. But I just want to take some time and thank our veterans. And when you get an opportunity to check out wishforourheroes.org, do that. And a great opportunity for you as well to support them and to support the veterans in all that they do. Again, we support you, the American soldier.
I'm just trying to be a father, please a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone, up and at 'em bright and early, I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success, from my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money, there's bills that I can't pay. I don't do it for the glory, I just do it anyway. Providing for our futures, my responsibility. Yeah, I'm real good under pressure, being all that I can be. I can't call in sick on Mondays when the weekend's been too strong. I just work straight through the holidays, sometimes all night long. You can bet that I stand ready when the wolf growls at the door. Hey, I'm solid, hey, I'm steady, hey, I'm true down to the core. And I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost, I know the sacrifice. Oh, and I don't want to die for you, but if dying's asking me, I'll bear that cross with honor, cause freedom don't come free. I'm an American soldier, an American, beside my brothers and my sisters, I will proudly take a stand. When liberty's in jeopardy, I will always do what's right. I'm out here on the front line, sleep in peace tonight. American soldier.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Tommy, you might want to fix your microphone.
Woo, boy, I was just chatting away. Thank you there, $2 Bill Josh. Here's the thing. We're in our new studio, and I've got to rely on some stuff myself. Typically, my social media director and producer, Michelle, will let me know, hey, you got to turn your mic on or something. So, hey. It's okay. We'll chalk it up to the new. All right. Well, let's start that all over again. Welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. This show is dedicated to the veterans and all that they have done for us as well. And have given us the freedom to talk about sports. I mean, really, when you look at the big scope of things, you know, and I said this before, like it or not like it, you know, we have a President Obama who's been reelected. But the thing is,
whether or not we like that or in favor of that or not, we're an American, and democracy works, and we have that freedom because of our veterans and the people who have paid the ultimate sacrifice to give us that freedom. Well, guys, we jump right into fantasy football huddle now. We got 30 minutes to talk nothing about fantasy, but fantasy football huddle and fantasy football. Get your lineup set up, as well as some talk with the Indianapolis Colts. Joining us now is Axel. Axel, welcome back to The Balance.
Hey, Tom. Nice to be back.
Hey, it's good to have you back. How was Myrtle Beach?
Myrtle Beach was swell. I went a little south of Myrtle Beach, the Surfside Beach. That was good, too. The last of the high 70s, low 80s weather, I guess, that I got to see.
All right. Well, you know, we have dedicated this show to the veterans. We've asked everybody who's come on the line today if there's any specific veteran that they'd like to give a shout on out to, or anything about Veterans Day that they'd like to say. Chad?
Well, I mean, just like you said, I mean, just for us to be here, not worrying about our safety and worrying about attacks and living in peace and the freedom we enjoy and the air we breathe, and a lot of things to thank for. And the veterans play a big part in it, and couldn't be more thankful for them, and always have a soft corner in my heart for those veterans who have given it all, starting with all those world wars and all the recent wars as well.
Absolutely. Well, guys, it's time to get right into it. And before we do that, we want to talk about these Indianapolis Colts sitting at 6-3. Andrew Luck. And, guys, I'll be the first one to eat a big piece of helping piece of crow pie. I did not think that Luck was the best decision at the forefront. And those of you that follow the show know that I was really pushing for RG3. You know, now RG3 is kind of in a situation, not his fault, obviously still doing a fantastic job over there in Washington, but the team has fallen apart around him. Fortunately, on the flip side of, you know, I was watching some of these interviews with Andrew Luck. It's eerie similar to Peyton Manning and how he handles himself with the media and what he says and how he answers his questions. You'd almost think that Peyton Manning mentored Andrew Luck during his college years. Oh, wait, he did. So, you know, it was a great opportunity for Andrew Luck, and I love what our Indianapolis Colts is doing. And those of you that saw my blog earlier this week, what we have is a formula for winning: Pagano plus Luck plus the team. It's all coming together. And I tell you what, I watched that post-game speech in the locker room, and I don't care who you are, that was a moving speech. All 73 seconds of it, I put it in my blog, will go down in history. That was a Vince Lombardi speech. That's why the Colts are winning. That's why the Colts are at 6-3. And dare we say the word playoffs? I don't want to jinx them. Nobody expects them to beat New England, but my God, they can beat New England. We'll start with you, Josh. What are your thoughts? The Indianapolis Colts, 6-3. Josh, all right, we'll go with you. Go ahead, Chad.
Hey, it's the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, Luck has been so fortunate to come into a franchise that is so well run with a very good owner that preaches stability. And I'm just looking at quarterbacks around the league as rookies who have not succeeded. First, you go to Alex Smith, who had so many different changes with coaches and all this stuff. Finally, he's got some stability. And then you see Blaine Gabbert. Now it's going to be new management, and God knows, it might be a new GM next year. And RG3 with Mike Shanahan, I mean, it's like already throwing in the towel. I mean, it's like, come on. And I'm just thinking, when Big Ben went to Steelers organization, and now Andrew Luck going to the Colts organization, why it is so important to go to a good organization? Aaron Rodgers went to the Packers. Well-run organizations show their stamp by staying the owner staying away from interference. Knock on Jerry Jones. and basically give time for the GM and all those coaches to establish a culture. And it was excellent scouting by Jim Irsay to get Ryan Grigson and Chuck Pagano. I mean, we need quality character coaches and personnel from top to bottom, and that's what gave us our winning tradition. And I'm telling you, this horseshoe is super lucky to have Unitas, then Manning, then Andrew Luck. There's something about the horseshoe. And I'm like ecstatic. I myself thought we were a six-win team for the entire season, and now we have three more winnable games with the Bills and the Titans and the Chiefs, and we are staring at 9-7 at least, and with the possibility of a 10th game, which is going to be the one that we can steal somehow with this scrappy squad, which plays scrappy but wins close games, and get into the playoffs, the wild card.
Well, absolutely, and I wish we had more time to really dive into this. But, Josh, I do want to get into Fantasy Football Huddle. But before we do that, Josh, I do want to talk with you real quickly about Arians. He points to a possible return of Pagano. We'd like to believe that that would happen. I don't know that that's a fact. But one thing that we do know for a fact is that amazing remote possibility here. The Colts have tripled their win total from last year. More importantly, doubled their victories from Peyton Manning's rookie season. Regardless of how it turns out, they've already done more than most would do, thought they would do, put it that way. And with the genuine sense of team emerging from their coach illness, the Colts could still do a lot more. Josh, what are your thoughts about how the – we've lost Josh. Okay, we won't go there. Anyway, bottom line is the team has surrounded and coach Pagano, and I tell you what, this whole Chuck Strong has just been an amazing feat for the Indianapolis Colts. Now, Josh, we lost you. We're going to get you back here real quickly here, Josh. What are your thoughts about the Colts, their season? Real quickly, we got to get into fantasy football.
I think they're having a great season. The only thing that's really making me mad, if Peyton Manning deserves MVP for Denver being at 6-5-3, how does Andrew Luck not deserve MVP talk when he's a rookie playing with rookies, having the Colts at 6-3? I don't understand it.
Well,
it's probably because of the division. Probably because of the division and the schedule, so.
Absolutely. Well, guys, we're going to get right into Fantasy Football Huddle here. And if you want to talk fantasy football with us and you want to get your lineup set up, give us a call, 917-889-8516. Well, we're going to kind of just go through this time and take a look at – we're in a situation where we go into Week 10, and now is the time where you really have – to start looking at the playoff picture of your team. And, you know, one thing I forgot to mention, I just saw this in my notes here. What a great thing it was for the Colts to shave their heads for Chuck Pagano. I wish we had time to really get into the conversation on that. But I just say that in itself shows me that the Colts are surrounding themselves around Chuck Pagano, and they believe that they can win, guys. Well, let's talk about some fantasy football. Let's talk about some of the quarterbacks here. When you look at Andrew Luck, you know, in fact, I was one of the guys that said, you know, except for last week, if you remember, even though we ran a best of, I did a quick fantasy football huddle at the beginning of the show. And I said, this is the week to play Andrew Luck. It's a very good opportunity, and I was dead on. You know, obviously throwing for more yards than any rookie ever has. You got to look at that was a fantasy football stud on Sunday, Chad. So let's look at was this an isolated thing, or should team owners run out there and grab Andrew Luck, providing that he's even available? The chances of that are even there aren't there, so you're probably going to have to work out a trade with somebody in your league. But Andrew Luck, should he be on your squad, yes or no, Chad?
Absolutely. I mean, look at the upcoming schedule. I mean, the Patriots secondary, Detroit Lions secondary, those teams, I mean, are going to score points, and Andrew Luck will have to keep up with them. And then you have teams like the Buffalo Bills, Kansas City Chiefs, and Tennessee Titans on the schedule that you can throw against. And, I mean, that's just five of those games. I mean, he's got so many favorable matchups. Houston Texans, you don't know if they'll rest their starters. It'll all boil down to the Houston Texans head-to-head game versus the Patriots at Foxborough. I think it's week 13 or 14. And so if they do have the number one clinch, they might rest their starter. So, I mean, a lot of things that can happen favorably for Andrew Luck down the playoff stretch too. And the last three games, I think the Texans, Titans, and Chiefs. So at least two out of those three matchups, he's got favorable matchups for from a fantasy playoffs perspective. And he's got as many rushing touchdowns than all our running backs combined. So just goes to show you, he gets you points with his legs too. So though they don't use his legs as much as the Redskins use with the RG3 in a much more tougher division with more athletic defensive ends and all that stuff. That's what I never understood. But I do think Luck has several favorable matchups, and he's a must-have if he's still available on the waiver wire, which I doubt he is.
Well, I agree. I totally doubt that he is. You know, I wish we had time to really talk about it. You were talking about running quarterbacks, and we're seeing that more and more often. Obviously, we look way back a few years ago when Michael Vick invented the run of the quarterback. And now we have quarterbacks like Luck and RG3 doing it. And one of the things you got to look at is how that changes the rules. When a quarterback takes off running, they then become a running back. So, which means the same hit rules do not apply unless they slide. So, at the situation, you look at this just happened back with Andrew Luck and how Luck was hit, that hit. You know, really, that was a fair hit. That was shoulder to shoulder. That was a running back hit. That's how you would hit a running back. And it's amazing how the rules change. A lot of people don't realize that. Just because they're the quarterback and they take the snap and they take off running, they then are a running back in motion and no longer a quarterback. So the rules do apply differently than that. Well, let's talk a little bit about running backs, Josh. And then we're going to go into buy, sell, or trade. Josh, out of these three running backs, would you start this week? Would you start Daniel Thomas against Tennessee, Fred Jackson at New England, or Jonathan Stewart versus Denver? Which one of those three would you – I'll even throw one more in there, Sean Green at Seattle. Which one of those four running backs would you start this week?
I would start John Stewart just because Ron Rivera figures to keep the ball on the ground a lot, trying to keep Peyton Manning over on the sideline. So out of those four, I would start Jonathan Stewart, ideally, if you get him. You want Doug Martin, though.
All right. Chad, real quickly, which one of those four would you start?
I'd start Daniel Thomas because of the fact that they're doing more timeshare with Reggie Bush recently. And I do not think the Titans will get away with a huge lead or anything for the running game to not be a factor versus the Titans. And they're starting Jake Locker, a rookie, on the road. and that's why I feel that there'll be ample opportunities and carries for Daniel Thomas. And Denver is more stout against the run. I mean, Tennessee probably bottom three in the league against the run. And Seahawks, of course, top five against the run, and who's the fourth? New England is also probably top five against the run. So based on matchup, I would purely say Daniel Thomas, and based on the opponent who will not run away with the score for the running game to be a factor, I would go with Daniel Thomas.
All right, guys, well, let's get into buy, sell, or trade. We got 10 minutes to get someone through some of these positions that the best that we can, guys. And here's the thing. If you've got a question, give us a call, 917-889-8516. We'd love to talk with you about your fantasy lineup as well and try to get your the best advice to you as we can. Also, joining us is a new member of our panel who pops in from time to time, Mr. Sean Romine, who proclaims himself to really know everything there is to know about fantasy football. Sean, welcome back to The Balance, sir.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it.
Well, we got about 10 minutes, so we're going to zip through this really quickly, guys. And I'm going to ask you real quickly, Sean, in this particular scenario, which one of these four running backs would you start in week 10? Daniel Thomas versus Tennessee, Fred Jackson at New England, Jonathan Stewart versus Denver, or Sean Green at Seattle?
Fred Jackson.
Fred Jackson, that'd be who you start. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've got and Axel, yours was Jonathan Stewart.
No, mine was Daniel Thomas.
Oh, Daniel Thomas, that's right. Josh, you were Jonathan Stewart. I'm going to go with Sean's pick on this with Fred Jackson. Well, guys, we want to get into the buy, sell, or trade situations. And, you know, as we just talked about, and we looked at quarterbacks, and we're going to go ahead and make him an official part of the buy, sell, or trade. I think everybody agrees that it's a buy, but we'll go through the official motion. Andrew Luck had a fantastic record-breaking week last week. And you look at the game that he had against Jacksonville. Andrew Luck, buy, sell, or trade, Sean?
I'm not real big on rookies. Every year there seems to be a couple that break out. I would call Andrew Luck one of those. So I'm going to go ahead and buy into him, but a little bit tentatively.
All right. Chad, real quickly, buy, sell, or trade, Andrew Luck?
Oh, bye. I mean, I told you the schedule with the Titans, Chiefs, and the Bills coming up, and the Patriots secondary, and all that stuff. So I'm going to buy.
And Josh, buy, sell, or trade, Andrew Luck?
Bye. In fact, I'm going to get ready to send you a trade offer here in just a little bit regarding Mr. Luck.
You're going to trade Andrew Luck?
I'm going to try to pick him up from you.
I've got him on my team. I don't have him.
Yep. I thought he was your backup.
Oh, he might be. See, that shows you how much I don't play my rookies. I'm like Sean. I don't think I have him. I think you're thinking of somebody else. Well, you know, here's somebody else that I like, quarterback, and then we'll get into the running back situations. Buy, sell, or trade, Josh, Matt Ryan with Atlanta. Atlanta's having a fantastic season, but I don't know that I'm overly sold on Matt Ryan as the quarterback, as a fantasy quarterback. At this point, I think I would look into trading Matt Ryan. A lot of people might call me crazy, but Josh, buy, sell, or trade Matt Ryan?
I'm going to buy Matt Ryan, even though he's going to lose tomorrow.
we'll see if that actually happens. Chad, buy, sell, or trade Matt Ryan?
Heck yeah, bye. I mean, it's like, look at his offensive line. I mean, it's like people rarely seem to get to his offensive line unless they overload blitzes or anything like that. So his offensive line has been super solid, and it's hard. I mean, it's like bottling up both Roddy White and Julio Jones has been such a tough task for most teams. It's not that easy, and he's super accurate. So I'm going to buy.
All right, Sean, buy, sell, or trade Matt Ryan?
Well, you got to buy. He's been a comer for a few years. I think he's starting to turn the corner, and you got to look at the fact that he's facing New Orleans this week. So whether he wins or loses, we know he's going to put up points against a team like that.
Well, guys, I hate to back up Indianapolis Colts because I know there's more than one team out there, but I'm really, really impressed from a fantasy perspective with Ty Hilton, wide receiver for the Indianapolis Colts. This guy is young, but I think that he has a lot of potential. And I certainly would look at adding him to your roster, especially because you got to realize Andrew Luck's got to have a lot of different weapons going up there to against New England. So, Sean, buy, sell, or trade Ty Hilton?
I'm going to I'll go ahead and buy. The Colts seem to be on a roll. There's a lot of positive energy. Again, I'm not 100% on this, but the Colts are going to throw the ball. They've always thrown the ball and not run so well, so I'll go ahead and buy into it.
Axel, buy, sell, or trade Ty Hilton?
For the New England game, buy, but because Belichick is very good at scheming out the number one wideout, which will be Wayne, and will force the other wide receivers to beat him. But for other games, I'm going to say sell because, one, he does punt returning. He doesn't do kickoff returning, and kickoffs in the league, just like Hester's numbers recently have shown. It's kind of like with the new kickoff position, more touchbacks, and Ty Hilton's value is diminished, especially if Kobe Fleener comes back. He's been injured, and with Kobe Fleener and Dwayne Allen and Donnie Avery and Reggie Wayne, I mean, there are only so many looks to go for. I mean, there's only one wideout consistently worth owning in the Colts at Wayne.
All right, Josh, buy, sell, or trade?
I'm going to sell. For the New England game, I agree. I might buy him, but the Colts are starting to run the ball more, and they're starting to be good at it. I think you're going to see him go more and more to that when it starts to get cold in the outdoor games. So I'm going to sell Hilton.
Well, heck yeah, the Colts are starting to run more. Andrew Luck is the only runner they got. Andrew Luck is the only running back they have. I couldn't resist. The door was wide open on that one. Well, speaking of running backs, I like Isaac Redman with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Guys, you got to look at, he was able to practice for the second straight day, and it appears that the Steelers running back, Isaac Redman, will split carries in week 10. But at the same time, I think he's very, very well worth picking up, at least maybe for a one-game pickup, and especially if you got a situation to where your running back's on a bye week type situation or one of those type of deals. Isaac Redman's a good pickup. Josh, would you agree or disagree?
I would pick him up as a backup, not as your lead running back, though.
Axel, buy, sell, or trade Isaac Redman?
I would sell because Jonathan Dwyer has gotten healthy. He had 200-yard games before Isaac Redman had his breakout game versus the Giants. And the running backs coach comes out and says, Rashad Mendenhall, once he gets healthy, will be the starting running back because he's got the whole package of receiving and running. So it's such a mess that I don't think there'll be enough carries eventually when everybody gets healthy. So this is a perfect time to sell him.
All right, Sean, buy, sell, or trade Isaac Redman?
Buy for the short term. I tend to agree that it's going to get a little bit crowded there in Pittsburgh in the running game. But right now he seems to have opportunity. And with a team like the Steelers who are going to run it year in and year out, it's not a bad pickup.
Well, guys, I want to go back to the quarterback position. I like Carson Palmer. I have Carson Palmer. I like him. I think that he's doing all right and a very good opportunity, I think, for Carson Palmer. Granted, he's one of these guys that he's good when he's good and he's bad when he's bad. But the Raiders are doing good this year, and Raiders quarterback Carson Palmer is a big reason of that. He's just coming off a 414-yard, four-touchdown performance in Week 9. In my opinion, you got to look at, even though he's a little bit aged, and people say, well, you know, Carson Palmer, really? I say you really got to look at picking up Carson Palmer. He's a guy that you, when you're starting to shape your team for the playoffs, Carson Palmer is a guy you may want on your roster. Would you agree or disagree, Chad?
I would agree. I mean, because he's got, 14 straight 200-yard games, and finally he got both those speedsters healthy, Denarius Moore and Darius Heyward-Bey. Previously he was missing Denarius Moore big time, and that has opened the underneath a lot. And so all these tight ends and Marcel Reese's kind of pullback converted, wide out kind of guys are all flourishing because of the health of the outside wide receivers. And that's the result. That's why he put up all those numbers, though he was going against Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who can't stop anybody. I mean, so, but I do think it's a buy.
All right, real quickly, Sean, buy, sell, or trade Carson Palmer?
Well, Oakland, like Arizona, is a place where careers go to die, and I consider Palmer to be slightly below average and has gone there for his career to die, so I'm going to have to sell on that one.
Well, guys, we are going to have to come to an end here, and I wish we had time to get it from Josh. But, Sean, one thing I wanted to – we had my son on. He's in the Marines just a little bit earlier. Obviously, it's the birthday of the Marines. Want to thank all the veterans, and obviously it's veterans time. We take time to look at the veterans. We've given everybody that's been on the air with us an opportunity to give a special shout-out to a veteran special in their life or just something they want to say about Veterans Day. Sean, go ahead.
Well, thank you to all. I happen to work with one that Tom may know, so we'll give a special shout-out to Larry Grout.
All right. And, guys, that's going to do it. It's going to bring us to the two-minute rant. We've got a full roster here, guys, so we're going to have to limit it to 30 seconds apiece. Chad, go.
Well, a big shout-out to Chuck Strong and keeping reality separate from football, and props to the Indianapolis Colts. I'm with them 100% of the way.
All right, Sean, are you ready this week? Are you ready, sir?
I am ready.
Go, buddy.
Philadelphia,
go.
Wake up. Andy Reid is probably the best quarterback coach in the league. I know he's been there for a long time, but don't lose faith in Andy Reid. He seems to put up, I mean, if you look at the quarterback in Arizona now, when Tom played for Philadelphia, he was something special. Everybody wanted a piece of him. And every quarterback that goes there seems to excel, even though Vic's had some troubles. Don't give up on Andy Reid.
Josh, 30 seconds. Go, go, go.
Vogel and the Indiana Pacers need to wake up, especially if Vogel would like to remain employed. So tonight you're facing the winless Wizards. It's time to come out and get a W.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for all of us. My rant is this. If you have not taken time to thank a veteran this weekend, do that. Even if it's to post something on your Facebook or your Twitter, if you don't know a veteran personally, thank a veteran. You know, we just came off the election. And, you know, no matter how your guy turned out, the thing is you had the freedom to do that. Democracy works. Thank a veteran, guys, and get out there and support your team as well, guys. Well, that's going to do it. We're going to go out with Toby Keith, American Soldier, guys. All the veterans out there, thank you for all that you've done for us.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone. Up and at 'em bright and early, I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success, from my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money, there's bills that I can't pay. I don't do it for the glory, I just do it anyway. Providing for our futures, my responsibility. Yeah, I'm real good under pressure, being all that I can be. I can't call in sick on Mondays when the weekend's been too strong. I just work straight through the holidays, sometimes all night long. You can bet that I stand ready when the wolf growls at the door. Hey, I'm solid. Hey, I'm steady. Hey, I'm true down to the core. And I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost. I know the sacrifice. Oh, and I don't want to die for you, but if dying's asking me, freedom don't come free. I'm an American soldier, an American. Beside my brothers and my sisters, I will proudly take a stand. When liberty's in jeopardy, I will always do what's right. I'm out here on the front line, sleep in peace tonight. American soldier, take a stand when liberty's in jeopardy.